guys. This is Charles with the Barbershop Group Podcast.
And this is Riley, your co-host.
And today we're going to be interviewing a fabulous, fabulous therapist, Keandra Jackson. If you guys have not heard of her, you need to get familiar with her. Okay, this woman is busy, busy, busy. She is all over the news. She is on TV. She is on everybody's website and on everybody's podcast. And with good reason, she knows her stuff. And today we're going to talk about relationships, guys, because you know what? We've got a problem. Listen, if you look at the amount of divorces that happen just here in the United States alone, we're talking somewhere around 50%. Now, that's just marriage. That doesn't include domestic partnerships, okay? But I'm willing to believe that domestic partnerships are also struggling. So that means that we men are at least half of the problem. And so we want to find out what we can do to start to go in a different direction. Okay. So as I said, we've got Keandra Jackson with us today, and she's known as America's number one relationship therapist. She's been recently featured in New York Times, Vice, Huffington Post. And Huffington Post, I think it was really cool because she was featured as one of the 10 black female therapists that you should know. She's a speaker. She's a two-time author. And we're going to talk a little bit about her book, Staying Sane in an Insane World, that's out now. But we will talk about that a little later. And one of the things that really brought attention to her was that every so often she'll get on Instagram and she will have a message for men and women about relationships. And these messages are really, really small, but they are direct. And that's something that I really enjoy about her style of communication. Is she's in your face. She tells you what you need to hear, or maybe what you don't want to hear, but she lays it out for you. Today, she's going to do that for us. Keandra, are you there?
I am here, and I'm super excited to have you guys have me on today. I'm excited. It was a long time coming.
I know it. I know it. Guys, let me tell you, when I say she is busy, she is extremely busy. We tried to get Keandra on the show probably about 4 months ago, and she emailed back, and she said, hey, guys, look, it's going to be a while. And I thought to myself, no, are you serious? Well, God, she is that busy. And she's that busy because she knows her stuff. So, Keandra, you know, you heard me say that guys are having trouble in relationships. And it's not something that we like to talk about, but the numbers speak for themselves. You know, yeah. The number speaks for themselves. It's no secret at all. And we've got an audience of guys who are between the ages of 20 and 45 who are having relationship issues, whether we're talking about heterosexual or issues within the gay communities. These things are real. And I wanted to find out from you why these numbers are so high, and how do you partner with clients to impact these numbers?
That's a wonderful question. And I think it really starts with us being able to communicate and vocalize what our needs are in order for them to be met in the first place. And so men have a horrible reputation. I'm not going to say all men, but some men have a horrible reputation of not communicating effectively. And they kind of just shut down and won't say too much, or they think the woman is supposed to just automatically know what's supposed to be done. But truth be told, verbalizing and vocalizing what you need in the moment is so, so crucial to having a healthy relationship. And so the numbers are so high is because we're not doing that, right? Men are not doing that. And so my call and my urge and my passion is helping people have effective two-way communication, right? Because we could talk all day, and that doesn't mean the other person is listening or understanding what we're saying. So if we can get those numbers down, it will be because we will be teaching people how to effectively communicate, thus having people have healthier relationships and longer lasting relationships.
Yeah.
Wow. That's definitely well said. And Keandra, you said something that stuck out to me about verbalizing, vocalizing in the moment, and heat of the moment. I think that's something for guys, well, probably for anyone, really, that's really hard to do. So I'm wondering, though, if you could kind of spell out for us and the listeners what, from your perspective, what you think makes that so challenging, and, you know, what some of the obstacles are to effective two-way communication.
Yeah, I think it comes from the fact that that's something that we're not taught. If you think about all the classes that you take in elementary and high school, no one is teaching you how to effectively communicate. You probably don't get that communication piece until you hit college and you take like a communications course or something of that nature. And so that's something that you have to intentionally learn as an adult. And this is apart from relationships. Like, you should just learn how to effectively communicate, period, because this will help you in jobs, you know, across the board. And so in the heat of the moment, it becomes rough because it's not something that we're taught to do. And so communication, we can literally talk about this all day. Like, this is a conference right here. But one of the biggest things that I see people do is not learning or not knowing how to listen effectively. Mm. So I call this active listening. So active listening is when you are actually listening to understand what the person is saying versus just listening to respond. Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Yes.
And we listen to respond all the time. I'm literally just like waiting for you to be quiet so I can kind of just like put in my 2 cents, right? And say how I feel. But I never really took the time to make sure that I understood what you were saying and checking in and saying, hey, so is this what you're saying? Did you mean this? Do I have it correct? And then moving forward from there. Gotcha. So that's one technique.
I see. So I read this book called His Needs, Her Needs by Willard F. Harley. And in it, he outlines several needs of men. He talks about sexual fulfillment, recreational companionship, physical attractiveness, peace and quiet, and admiration. You know, starting with sexual fulfillment, why is it often difficult for men to express this need? Isn't it already a given? I mean, how can he express this need in a better way? I would think that women know that guys like sex, but what's the issue here?
We absolutely know you guys like sex. And contrary to popular belief, women also like sex. Y'all know I like to keep it real. Come on, Charles. I like to keep it real when I'm having conversations. So yes, we know y'all want to get it on, want to get it popping, but there's so many variations to sex that we don't tap into. And I'm talking about, yes, you can talk about your wants and your needs, but there's also a level of emotional connection that goes with sex that nobody wants to really talk about too. So I think this also goes back to the communication piece. Like, people are not mind readers. I want everybody listening right now to understand that your chick, your dude, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, whatever situation you are in, they are not mind readers. So you have to verbalize and say what you mean a lot of the times, right? Yes. Yeah. And understanding that relationships go through seasons, right? Like, what you did when you were dating, when you first met the other person, and y'all all, you know, got the warm fuzzies going on and, you know, butterflies in your stomach, that is a different conversation than when you're, you know, 5 years together or in the game. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So you got to keep it spicy. Like, tell me what you want. Hey, is there any youngins on here? Any minors?
No, no minors.
Okay. So tell me what you want. You want it doggy style? Do you want oral sex? Like, what are we talking about here? And more than likely, most times women will be down to fulfill that need, but we got to know. We got to know what's happening.
Gotcha.
So, Keandra, I'm not sure how much you know about my background. I've got a little bit of counseling history in there, and I feel like a lot of what you're saying is on point, but I am super curious to get your perspective on this, because I like how you said that, you know, it's seasonal and things change, people change. And so do our desires, needs, expectations. And I definitely agree with the point you're making of, you know, the importance of communicating those needs. But when it comes to more serious issues and topics like sex and talking about the needs that we need in our relationships, why do you think it's such a difficult topic? And not just sex, but just, you know, anything that's important to that individual. Why is it so hard to express ourselves and to actually ask for what we need, especially when those needs might keep changing and continue?
Yeah. I think, not to go super deep, but we receive messages all over the world about what sex is and sexuality, right? Mm-hmm. like, even at an early age, like, how were you introduced to sex? And then on women and men's part, you know, sometimes people experience sexual trauma, rape, molestation, and people don't understand that those play into how your sexual relationship is with your partner. You know, people think, oh, that happened to me a long time ago, I'm over that. But no, sometimes subliminally and subconsciously, those things may arise. And so, not to get all super deep, but sometimes there's deep down issues from childhood and beyond that go unaddressed, and we bring those and we trickle those and we carry those into our relationships and not even knowing what that looks like and how to repair those. And so a lot of the time it starts with us individually. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That does make sense. So, you know, one of the other things that Harley talked about was that men need recreational companionship. He said a lot of guys fear settling down, not just due to decreased access to sex, but also that men fear losing freedom or access to recreational companionship. And a lot of people don't know what that means. So what is this, and how can men express this need in a way that his partner understands? Especially, you know, in today's time, you have a lot of, I'll say this, especially for younger women, you know, they're, it used to be what Disney that fed everybody's relationship goals. Now it's Instagram. And a lot of women just want their men to do everything with them. But is that really what recreational companionship is about?
A lot of times we morph into one being when you get into a relationship. So his likes become my likes. Your likes become, we just one person at this point. And you have to understand your own individuality. Like, trust and believe, if my husband or my boo, whatever you want to call him, wants to go play games with the boys, wants to go to the football, go. Because I want to hang out with my girls, right? I want to have, you know, my alone time as well. We don't have to be so glued to the hip. We are not Siamese twins.
Right.
But once you understand and develop this maturity of like this other perk, I want to do things with you all the time. Yes, I want to spend as much quality time with you as possible. But at the same time, you were an individual before I met you, and you had wants, needs, and desires prior to that. And you have to continue to fulfill that in order to be happy in this relationship. Because when you don't hang out with your friends and all you do is you're just focused on that one person, it's going to get boring, it's going to get frustrating, and truth be told, something's going to eventually hit the fan.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it sounds
I don't want
like
you to end up in a doghouse. I really don't want you to end up in a doghouse.
Well, let's
but maybe
let's
some type of compromise, right? So say, for instance, hey, I know a football game is coming up and I won't be spending all day with the boys. Okay, well, how about we do something the weekend prior? Or how about, you know, you schedule time with your friends, so when I'm away, you're not just at home sitting down by yourself twiddling your thumbs. Like, you have to come up with creative ways and compromises to say there's a little give and take here.
Yeah. Mm.
So it sounds, it really is about finding, I like that you use the word compromise and finding a balance and getting creative about how to do that. But I want to take this maybe a step further with regard to the doghouse question. So I feel like we're talking about things that are kind of, you know, it's about the relationship, obviously, but it's how to maintain balance with yourself and you know, the individuality piece that you mentioned before, Kendra, and keeping that balance, you know, with relationships or companionship outside of the relationship, right?
Yeah.
So let's move on to, for those of us who were, you know, we're already in relationships, we're already there, we're in it, and maybe we haven't thought about these things before we got into the relationship. We're just hearing this podcast now and taking in Kiandra's advice. And so now for the guys who are already, you know, that are right here in this moment, and they're just hearing it for the first time, maybe they realize that there's a problem. There's something they want to fix. They want to be proactive and you know, take charge. And there might be things that stand out to them as issues, and they want to confront them. And I feel like some issues can be harder to bring up than others. You know, if you left your shoes in the wrong spot or you didn't wash a dish, might be a little bit easier to bring up, but I know it can cause just as many problems, but a little easier to bring up than, you know, you're starting to feel not as attractive or something, you know, a serious kind of issue, not as attracted to your partner. So when these kind of issues come up, you're already in the relationship. You're, you know, how can you, let's get practical. If you can, walk us through, talk us through how can you, you know, express yourself, but empathetically and without running the risk of, you know, damaging the relationship and losing the connection and being in the doghouse.
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure that you're trying to maintain the relationship. And so if something, we can take the example of you not finding your partner as attractive as previously once before, because that's a good one, right? You know, like women, we gain weight, you know, we might have a baby or, you know, something changes because that's just life. And not, I'm not going to put y'all men off the hook either. Y'all have changes too. You know, I know y'all get a little gut or something like that. And it's like, okay, babe, let's try to figure that out. But I always say you need to find the intersection. Finding the intersection means coming to a commonality, right? So when you're having these candid conversations, first of all, your relationship should be built on trust and honesty from the beginning. And it doesn't always have to be blunt and say, hey, you fat, you need to go to the gym. We're not doing that. Because that will for sure get you in the doghouse.
Right, but right.
From a place of compassion and saying, hey, like, I noticed that you put on, you know, a few pounds, or I noticed that, you know, your self-esteem is not like it used to be. Like, what do we, keyword is we, need mm-hmm. to do about that, right? Mm-hmm. And so we always put it off on the other person and saying, hey, that's your problem. You need to go to the gym. But how about we go to the gym together? Even if we are fit, even if you are fit and you're ripped or whatever, it's like, hey, I want to support you, babe, in this emotional journey. Like, yeah. Let's do this together and make it a team effort. And so we always try to separate what you should do, but it should be about us. It should be about we. And I think that's an important piece that people forget. And that's when people get defensive and you do for real end up in a doghouse.
I love that. I love the team mentality. Not just cause I'm a sport fan, and, but also I think that the word we and us, you know, I think that is awesome. And it sounds like, if I'm hearing you right, Keandra, that really at the center of it, the core of it is just common respect. Both individuals.
Absolutely, right? When you got into the relationship you respected and loved, and it was built on trust and honesty, hopefully, and you want to continue that pattern, right? Just because you've been together for so long doesn't mean that those things have to dissipate and disappear.
Awesome.
So, you know, one of the things that you mentioned was communication, that a lot of times communication is bad. And I think, you know, as we get out here, we talk to more men, or men email us or that kind of thing, send us text messages, make comments on the side. A lot of men talk about feeling like they are underappreciated or that they are not appreciated at all. And, you know, in Harley's book, he spoke about that. He spoke about men really needing to be respected and needing to be admired.
Yes.
But what we're really hearing is that men don't speak up about that need a lot of times. And if they do, then they may be rejected, or they may they may express feelings of being emasculated by, you know, expressing this need. But, you know, what can men do to address some of the feelings and thoughts without lashing out at their partners when they're talking about the need to feel admired and respected?
This is a good one. I think that falls back on us ladies, right? This is an area where we need to be more responsible and pick up on, because one thing a man wants to do, he wants to be respected and he wants to be honored, whatever that looks like. And so when we don't do that, even if it's something small, I gave this analogy the other day of, because I'm really into like all of these shows on Oprah Network, like Black Love and all of these like relationship shows, of course.
Okay.
There was a couple who had issues with self-esteem on that show. And that couple, she mentioned that she puts her husband kind of like on a pedestal. So say, for instance, I'm in a relationship and I know, for instance, he's not feeling that loved or honored, or he's not feeling as, you know, confident or whatever the case may be. And he walks into a room full of, you know, family or friends with me. I'm going to literally stop in the middle of the room and say, the finest man on the planet just walked in the door And that that is something that we don't do as women, where we put our men on a pedestal, we honor them, we respect them, and we let them see, or we show people, other people that's around us, that they are love, that we, that they're number one in our lives, you know? And so I think as women, we can be better about that and just acknowledging the small stuff, right? Like whether it is you're the breadwinner or you did put your shoes up, you know,
right.
in the closet this time, whatever that looks like, just acknowledging and honoring the small stuff. Mm-hmm. And men, going back to communication, just go ahead and say what you need.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to be like, you better respect me, girl. You better respect me, woman. We're not saying do that.
Right. Don't go Ike on them, right? Don't go Ike.
But we're saying on it. In moments where I didn't feel respected or I felt demasculated, it's okay to say, you know what, babe, when we were with your friends and you said this, it kind of made me feel some type of way.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's going to hopefully move you in the right direction of getting the same response. And her saying like, well, you know, what did I do? Or what did I say? And, you know, okay, well, I won't do that again, or whatever the case, creating dialogue about these topics. So yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I understand.
Keandra, yeah. you talked about the kind of the difference between, you sort of brought up two examples, you know, so one is being kind of in an intimate or personal, kind of a closed off situation or a private situation, and another might be how you treat someone in a social setting, you know, in front of friends or family. Yeah. How much do you think that the consistency between how you treat each other privately or in a social setting, how does the difference there between those two settings play a role in the, you know, development of a healthy relationship?
That's a good question, Riley. I feel like what you do in private, one-on-one in your relationship, that typically just spills over into group settings, right? So people who are very loving and affectionate at home and they have a healthy relationship, like that naturally spills over into group settings. Like you can see the love, you can feel the love, you know? There are times, however, when that's really not the case and it's very apparent. I don't know if you guys ever been around a couple who you can just feel the tension when they walk into the room.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, you don't know if they just got into an argument or they about to break up or whatever, but you just feel that energy around them. Like every time y'all come around, it just don't feel right. You know,
right.
That's equivalent to, you know, it's not being right at home. It's not being right on an individual level and it's spilling over into the group, you know, or the family setting. So you have to be very cautious of managing and massaging and pouring into and being intentional about your relationship one-on-one. And then in the group setting, it'll be easy for you to show love and affection. It'll be easy, you know, for you to tell your girlfriends how fine your man is. Like that's going to be easy because you do that at home on a regular basis. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I hear you. So, you know, In closing, as we, you know, we have a few minutes left, we want to really talk to you about something that I know that you're passionate about. We want to talk to you about staying sane in an insane world. You guys heard me say that Keandra authored a book called Staying Sane in an Insane World. And I got my hands on the book some time ago, and I don't want to spoil it for everybody. But Keandra, I know that's one of your babies. What inspired you to write that book?
That is definitely my second baby. Yeah. What inspired me to write that was everything that's happening right now, right? Right. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with the Kate Spade, you know, suicide issues that popped up. We're dealing with Anthony Bourdain, who's also, you know, just died by suicide today. Yeah. I mean, there's so many issues around mental health out here in the Black community and beyond, and it's really stigmatizing. And I work with people on a daily basis who experience depression and anxiety and all of these issues, and they're so afraid to speak up. And so I wrote this for the average person because I just wanted the word to get out, because I know, to be honest with you and 100% candid, I know everybody is not going to come to therapy. Right. I know everybody's not going to come into my office for sessions, but I know that a lot of people will read a book. And so I tried to jam-pack this book with as much resources as possible. It's literally a small pocket-sized book that you can read in less than an hour to give them the resources that they need. So people who are struggling, they can get the help needed, and they won't have to suffer in silence anymore. So that was my main reason for writing that book.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the other question I was going to ask you, but you've really answered it, is this, and that was, why should men read the book? And, you know, because a lot of guys, they stray away from reading self-help books, or they stay away from counseling, they stay away from psychology and things like that. But I was speaking with another colleague of mine who said that a lot of times when he talks about an issue, men won't comment on his page publicly, but they'll send him a message privately talking about, hey, this, you know, you really hit home with this one, or I went through this before, or thank you for bringing this up. But, you know, so I think giving individuals the opportunity to go into a private setting and read it where they may feel like, you know, there's less judgment or no judgment, no shame, no preconceived ideas. It's a lot better for them. So if somebody wanted to read your book today, where can they find your book?
Yeah, it is available on Amazon, Apple Books, and most other major retailers. You can also visit my website. It's also on there if you want to get a signed copy at kwcouplestherapy.com.
Got you. Okay, that's awesome, guys. So you all have heard it. You can go right on Amazon and get that book. That's actually what I did. Okay, so and we know that all you have to do is go into your app and check it out. Don't be afraid, man. As you heard Keandra say, there's a lot going on in the world. We know that we're talking about Kate Spade, we're talking about Anthony Bourdain, and so many other individuals who go through major struggles in life and minor struggles in life. You just never know what individuals are experiencing when we see them at work or in the streets, and even some of our own family members. Okay. So, Keandra, we thank you very much for joining us today. Your information was extremely valuable. We always appreciate your energy.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right, guys, you all have been listening to marriage and family therapist Keandra Jackson. Okay. She is one of the top therapists in the country right now, and she is all over the place. As you heard me say in the beginning, New York Times, Huffington Post, she is out there. She's out there. You can find her on Facebook. You can also find her on Instagram. And she's really passionate about helping couples rectify their relationships. So please check her out. You can check her out at www.kwessentialservices.com, and you can find out more about her agency there and more about her work. Okay, you can also look up the book at www.stayingsaneworld.com. But do yourselves a favor, guys. We don't have to suffer in silence. We don't have to sit in the dark and mope. We don't have to pretend to be victims anymore. There's help out there. So, guys, if you enjoy what you heard today, you can go over to www.patreon.com/thebarbershopgroup and sign up for some private information there that we put out. We've got some other details over there for you guys. We always appreciate your contributions and your feedback. But we enjoy the fact that you guys enjoy what we are doing here. So with that said, we won't keep you any longer. We're glad that you had the opportunity to tune in. Hopefully something that she said will make you go and check out the book and also talk to someone, okay? Because your relationship matters and so do you. So have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Barbershop Group provides safe spaces for men to discuss issues of well-being and mental health. The Barbershop Group also serves as a resource to the community, providing consultations and public speakers through partnerships with attorneys, mental health professionals, family agencies, religious institutions, and other advocates. In the near future, the Barbershop Group seeks to renovate dilapidated residential and commercial properties in urban areas to create respite shelters for displaced men. We will also host mentorship retreats and workshops for young men and adults to foster growth through our Iron Sharpening Iron and our Rebuilding Men programs. In addition, we host a weekly podcast covering issues of mental health, homelessness, financial literacy, education, and leadership. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, visit our Facebook page, or call 313-585-9948 for more information.